I heard a story some time ago about a lady who had trouble getting to sleep at night. And the reason she would lay awake at night was that she feared burglars breaking into her house. This went on for about 10 years. Well, one night, this lady and her husband, whilst they were lying in bed, heard a noise downstairs. And so she nudged her husband in the ribs and said, "I think you ought to go down and investigate." And so rather reluctantly, he got out of bed and he made his way downstairs in the dark. And when he got into the lounge, he put the light on. And sure enough, there was a burglar in the house. "Hello," said the husband to the burglar. "My wife has been waiting 10 years to meet you. Why don't I take you upstairs and I can introduce you to her?" It's interesting, isn't it, how that particular lady worried for 10 years about something that was completely outside of her control, and let's face it, at the end of the day, may never have happened. We all know what it is to worry, don't we? I'm sure every single person in this room knows what it is to worry. The Lord Jesus Christ might be able to lie fast asleep in the back of a boat in the midst of a raging storm, trusting completely in his heavenly Father, but you and I tend to be more like the disciples, full of anxiety, worrying about what is going to happen. What do we worry about? Well, we worry about all kinds of things. We worry about our health. We worry about the health of our family. We worry about whether or not we're going to be able to keep all the balls in the air if we've got lots of responsibilities. We worry about situations at work or at university or at college. We worry about the state of our nation. We worry about things perhaps at church. We worry about the future. We're a people that have a tendency to worry about all kinds of things. What are we to do when trials and difficulties and problems in life come along? Problems and cares and difficulties that have a tendency to cause anxiety levels to rise within us. Well, our verse of scripture this evening tells us what we are to do. Did you guess what verse I'm going to be looking at with you tonight? Well, it's there in verse 7. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, a verse I'm sure that many of you know so well. "Cast all your anxiety or all your care on him, because he," that is God, "cares for you." When the problems in life come along, we are to bring everything before our God in prayer, knowing, believing that he really does care for us. As we look at this verse of scripture tonight, I want to stress two things. Firstly, we must cast all our care upon God. And secondly, we really can cast all our care upon him. So firstly, we must cast all our anxiety upon him. Now, these Christians to whom Peter was writing were experiencing trials and difficulties of varied kinds. In fact, they were experiencing persecution. Life was not easy for them at all. Look at verse 12 of chapter 4. They were experiencing painful trials, dear friends. "Do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you." They were, verse 13 tells us, participating in the sufferings of Christ. Verse 14 tells us that they were being insulted because of the name of Christ. "If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you." Life was not easy for these believers at all. In fact, it was really tough. And yet we have to say, don't we, tonight, that it was all according to the will of God. Because nothing in the universe happens outside of God's will. And yet we must not attribute the evil that was happening to these people to God. Because God is holy. God is without sin. He cannot do evil. But somehow God in his sovereignty stood, as it were, behind all that was happening to these people, allowing these troubles to become their experience. Why? Well, in order to fulfill his good and loving and righteous purposes in their lives. You see, sometimes we may pass through difficult and trying experiences. And we wonder what God is doing. And we say, Lord, why are you allowing this to happen to me? And sometimes God's ways seem to be so mysterious. And yet we have to hold on to the fact, do we not, that God is working out his purposes in our lives. God is refining us, perhaps, through the trials and testings of life. God is enabling us to mature and to grow, perhaps, as Christians. Or maybe he's seeking to draw us nearer and nearer to himself because we have wandered away. Or perhaps the Lord is seeking to teach us more about his love and his care for us as his children. Wonder whether tonight we can just hold on to the fact that when we pass through the trials and difficulties of life, that there is a reason for it. There is a good reason for it. And God is working out his purposes. Perhaps God is preparing us for service. You know, so often, if we go through a difficult or a trying experience in life, then there is that opportunity at some point down the road to minister to those who are experiencing different trials. And we can offer them the encouragement and the support and the comfort, perhaps, that they need. Well, as I say, they were experiencing trials and difficulties. And it would seem that these trials were causing a great deal of anxiety. Now, I don't know what these people were saying because the scripture doesn't tell us, but perhaps it went something like this. How are we going to cope if we have to face one of those flogging? How are we going to cope if we have to face yet more days of insults? How are we going to cope if this persecution intensifies? How are we going to cope if tomorrow brings forth worse than today? And you can imagine, can't you, how the anxiety levels were rising in the lives of these people. Now, anxiety, I believe, is a terrible thing. And I want to put a number of reasons to you why anxiety is such a terrible thing. Firstly, it can prevent us from maintaining a proper perspective on life. It can stop us from thinking soberly and rationally. It can put us into a state of panic. I don't know how many of you here have watched Dad's Army over the years. If there are folk here who haven't watched Dad's Army over the years, well, let me just explain a little bit about it to you. It basically focuses upon a group of soldiers. They're Home Guard soldiers. They're led by Captain Mannering. And within the little corps, if that's the right word, of soldiers, there is Corporal Jones. Now, they get up to all kinds of things, but sometimes they meet with difficulties. And whenever they meet a difficulty, this is what Corporal Jones says. Don't panic, Mr. Mannering. And those of you who have watched the program can picture him now saying that, because he tends to wander around with his head down saying, don't panic, Mr. Mannering. But everybody watching the program can observe that he's in a state of panic. And whilst he's in that state, he's not able to think soberly or rationally. In fact, he's no good to Mr. Mannering at all. as Christians, we are not to be in that state of mind. And I think this letter that we're looking at tonight clearly tells us that. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Or as one translation puts it, be sober-minded. And then in chapter 4 and verse 7, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded or sober-minded and self-controlled. And then look at the two words that appear after the verse that we're considering tonight. And they're not there by accident. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be self-controlled or be sober-minded. Anxiety is a terrible thing. It firstly can prevent us from maintaining a proper perspective on life. Secondly, it can make us more susceptible to the snares of the devil. You see, whilst we're spending all our time focusing our attention upon a particular problem or care in life and we're full of anxiety, we're not watching out for the attacks of the evil one. And I think it's interesting that having dealt with the matter of anxiety in verse 7, that Peter goes on to say this, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Anxiety is a terrible thing. Thirdly, it can put us in a position whereby we can so easily fall into yet more sins. What do I mean by that? Well, let me give you two illustrations to help explain. I don't know what you do at Christmas time, but at Christmas, all our family gets together, usually at my mum and dad's house. And all the ladies pile into the kitchen, and they begin to make preparations for Christmas dinner. All us men, we retire to the lounge. Now, the anxiety levels within the kitchen begin to rise as time goes on. And none of us men dare walk into the kitchen. Why? Well, because we know that we might cause one of our wives to fall into sin. They might snap at us, get out of our kitchen. But just in case you think I'm getting at the ladies, let me give you another illustration. You see, there have been times over the years when I've sat in my study preparing for the Sunday. And I've struggled to get to grips with the passage. And I've looked at one commentary after another, and I've turned to the last commentary, hoping that it will be able to help me out. But as I've looked at it, I still haven't been able to make sense of the text. And you can imagine how the anxiety levels begin to rise as Sunday gets nearer and nearer and nearer. And sometimes, as the anxiety levels have been high, my wife has walked into the room, and she's asked an innocent question. And to my shame, I have snapped at her. You see the point. When we are full of anxiety, we can so easily fall into yet more sins. It's a terrible thing. It can also affect our physical well-being. Lots of worry, lots of anxiety can make us feel tired. Lots and lots and lots of worry can even lead to a state of depression. We talk, don't we, about people being worried sick. Yes, endless amounts of worry can lead to physical sickness. And I don't know a great deal about these things, but I've talked to doctors and they tell me that lots of people they treat have problems due to endless amounts of worry. It's a terrible thing. Lastly, it can cause us to waste a lot of time. How many hours? How many days, how many months even have we wasted worrying about things completely outside of our control? Things that might never actually happen at the end of the day. For 10 years, that lady in my opening illustration worried about something completely outside of her control. 10 years of not sleeping at night. You know, Christian friends, it's not God's will for you and I to be anxious. It really isn't. Let me take you to a number of verses of Scripture. And the first one that I want to turn you to is Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. And this is what we read. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And here is the promise, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do not be anxious then about anything. And then perhaps you'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 6. It's a well-known passage. You don't have to turn to it if you don't want to. Let me just read a few verses from chapter 6. Firstly, verse 25. Therefore, this is Jesus speaking, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. And then in verse 31, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we wear? And then in verse 34, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So it's not the will of God for us to be worrying endlessly and full of anxiety. But having said that, I do think we need to be just a little bit careful here, because there are legitimate concerns in life, aren't there? I mean, what kind of people would we be if we said that we weren't worried about growing in the faith? If we weren't worried about people becoming Christians? If we weren't worried about the state of our nation or the well-being of our children? We have legitimate concerns. We might say that there are legitimate worries. But Jesus and Peter are addressing what we might term illegitimate worries. You know, there is that point, don't you, when we lose perspective and we fail to trust or to rest in God's providential care, and we find ourselves in a state. We find ourselves in a state like Corporal Jones. Well, it's that kind of state that Peter is warning us against. God doesn't want us to be full of anxiety. No, he wants us to turn to him in prayer. He wants us to bring everything that concerns us to him in prayer. And he wants us to leave those things with him and to rest in his providential care. He wants us to know, yes, even his peace that transcends all understanding in the midst of life's difficulties. We must then cast all our anxiety on him, because it's not his will for us to be over anxious. Well, that's the first thing. We must cast all our anxiety upon him. The second thing is this, that we can cast all our anxiety upon him. And Christian friends, isn't this a wonderful thought? That whatever we go through in life, at any moment of the day, we can come before our Heavenly Father and we can bring it all before him, knowing that he cares for us and he's able to help us. How do we cast, though, all our anxiety upon our God? Well, in two ways. Firstly, in humility. And I think that this is so important. Sometimes as human beings, we have a tendency, I think, to put out our chests and to say, I'm okay. And when friends speak to us and they express concern, we say, no, I'm fine, thank you very much. I don't need anybody else's help. And there may be times too when we don't actually bring things to God in prayer because we feel that we can cope on our own. It's almost a case of we feel the need to say, you know, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. What kind of attitude does that demonstrate? Well, it demonstrates pride, doesn't it? Have you noticed the context to 1 Peter 5 and verse 7? The context is one of humility. Verse 5, young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You know, if we're going to be full of pride, if we're going to say, I can get through on my own, we're not going to receive grace and help and peace and strength and all that we need from the Lord. It's the humble that God gives grace to. And so there must be a willingness on our part to acknowledge our own weakness in the midst of life and to take things before the Lord, humbly recognizing our need of His help. How do we cast all our anxiety upon our God? Well, firstly, in humility, but secondly, by recognizing that He cares for us. I wonder whether we as Christians have, over the years, been tempted to put into question the care or the love of our God. Now, we might not admit that to anybody, but I wonder whether we know that that has been true of us. Well, if there have been times, then we can identify with lots of people in Scripture. We really can. Do you remember that time when Jesus and his disciples were in the boat together on the lake and there was that great storm that arose? And the disciples were fearful for their lives. The wind was blowing. The waves were crashing into the boat. In fact, the water was coming into the boat. They thought that they were going to die. And so they went to Jesus where he was asleep in the boat. And they woke him up. And this is what they said. Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? We'll find that verse rather amazing, really. How long had these men spent with Jesus? How many miracles of compassion had they witnessed? And yet, in the midst of their difficulty, in the midst of their trial, they put into question the care of their God. Then there was that time when Jesus went to the home of Mary and Martha. And Martha, as we know, went straight to the kitchen and she busied herself there in the kitchen whilst Mary sat at the feet of Jesus listening to all his wise and persuasive words. I don't know about you, but as I read that portion of Scripture, I get the impression that Martha was getting rather het up in the kitchen and that her anxiety levels were rising and that she came before Jesus rather angrily. Well, whether that's true or not, I don't know. But this is what she said to Jesus. Don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? How much time, too, had this lady spent with the Lord Jesus Christ? I wonder whether we're tempted sometimes to put into question the care of our God. Well, maybe there are times, but you know we should never doubt the care of our God, because he really does care for us. You know, when the disciples of Jesus woke him up, Jesus got up and he rebuked the winds and the waves. And he said, peace be still. And the winds died down and the water was calm again. He did care. Of course he cared. He loved Mary and Martha. They were so dear to him. It was just on that particular occasion Martha needed to learn that what Mary had chosen was far, far better. We worry, don't we, about all kinds of things in life. We worry about food. We worry about clothes. We worry about all that is needful in this life. And yet I believe that this is what Jesus would say to us. Now I'm going to quote some verses of Scripture that I would imagine all of you know incredibly well. And I think there might be the tendency for us to shut off at this particular point, assuming that we know what is going to be read to us. Let me encourage you to allow these words of Jesus to come across with a freshness tonight. Listen to what Jesus had to say. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Jesus is concerned to meet our needs. I wonder whether you will permit me at this particular point just to share a bit of personal testimony, because my wife and I have proved the care of our God over the last 6 months or so, because over the last 6 months, like many people up and down across our land, have been without work. And we've wondered how to make ends meet from time to time. But you know, it's amazing how God has provided. It really is, and sometimes God has provided in quite remarkable ways. Sometimes a little bit of work has been offered here or there, and at just the right time. Sometimes we've received checks in the post, and they've come from people that we can only just about remember who they were or who they are. And the letter has been sent with the check, and in the letter, it has said, the Lord has laid you upon our hearts, and therefore we send this with love. It's just amazing the way the Lord has provided for us, and we have not gone without. And we don't believe that we will go without, because the Lord cares. The Lord will provide for his people. We have worried. We'll put our hands up and say that we have been anxious at times. I find it difficult to live, if I'm honest, in the light of this word, but faith is growing stronger, and we're learning to trust in the Lord to meet our needs day by day. What do we do when we meet with problems and trials and cares in this world? Well, our verse tells us, doesn't it? We are to cast all our anxiety on him, because he cares for us. Just as one might throw a large sack or a garment over the back of a colt or a donkey so that the donkey might carry the load rather than us, so we are to cast, or we are to throw, our anxieties, our cares, our burdens upon the Lord, so that he gets to carry them rather than us. Now, we do that sometimes, don't we, in prayer? But we have a tendency to go back and to pick those cares and those burdens up again. And we worry about them all over again. But what we are to do, if we can, is to cast those cares upon our God and to leave them with him and to simply rest in his loving and providential care. You know, there's nothing too big to throw at God. You might say to me tonight, but Mark, you don't know how big my problems are in life. Well, that may be true. And maybe I wouldn't cope very well at all if I had to suffer some of the problems that you're having to suffer day by day, week by week. But what I do know is this, that our God is a great big God. He created this world out of nothing. He's dealt with the greatest problem this world has ever known, the problem of sin. He has caused his own Son to rise again from the dead. What problem can we have that is too big for our God to carry and to deal with? Nothing is too big to throw at our God. But at the same time, and perhaps this is just as encouraging, nothing is too small either to throw at our God. You see, he cares about every single little detail of our life. There may be things that we wouldn't share with family or friends. Why? Because if we shared those things with them, they would laugh at us. Why are you worrying about those silly little things for? But we can bring everything before our Heavenly Father, knowing that he cares for us. My little girl of 5 is sitting at the back there, and sometimes she comes to me and she is crying. And perhaps she's lost something, perhaps she's lost her bunny or whatever else it might be. Now, does Daddy say, go away, I'm busy, don't worry me, go and look for it yourself? No, he doesn't. Of course he doesn't. What I do is sit Naomi on my lap and I put my arms round her and I say, don't worry about it, let's go and search for bunny together. Because, you see, I care for her. And if that is the extent of my love and care for Naomi, what is the extent of God's love and care for us as his children? Nothing is too small or insignificant to bring to God. He delights in us bringing everything to him in prayer. All your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat, leave it there. Never a burden he cannot bear, never a friend like Jesus. That's what Colonel Joy of the Salvation Army once said. And Hudson Taylor, missionary to China and founder of what is today known as the Overseas Missionary Fellowship, gave this excellent advice. He said this, let us give up our work, our plans, ourselves, our lives, our loved ones, our influence, our all, right into God's hand. And then, when we have given all over to him, there will be nothing left for us to be troubled about. Friends, let's be encouraged to cast all our anxiety on him, knowing and believing that he really does care